tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word.
Welcome, friends. Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Sela Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 162, titled Bring Your Children to Jesus, we'll be talking about when Jesus blesses some children and his ultimate view of them. Sharon, can you get us started on where in the Bible we find this story?
You bet I can. I love that Jesus loves children. I remember back in the day where children should be seen and not heard, you know, and they had to just sort of endure whatever adults did and really weren't paid attention to. Sometimes I think we're too child-centered now, you know, the thing can swing. But in the Bible, we see Jesus loving children. And we're going to read two different passages of scripture that describe two different occasions where Jesus speaks of children. And isn't this nice that he does? I love it. So I'll read Mark 10, 13 to 16, and then you can read in Matthew after that. And then we'll talk about it. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. Mark 10, verse 13. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them.
That's so sweet.
I know.
All right, so I'm going to read from Matthew 18, verses 2 through 10. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. So if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gorge it out and throw it away. It is gouge.
Either works.
Sound fine. Either way, it's gross. And throw it away. It is better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. Beware that you don't look down on any of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father.
Huh. Wowzers. A little anger going on
there.
Yeah. Well, let's start not with Jesus, although he's the most interesting to me in this story. But let's talk about kind of the women's and children's story together. Mm. My version of the Bible, NLT, says parents, but the other versions say mothers. So whichever. But obviously, mothers are parents. And so what do you learn about the moms in this case and about the children from this passage?
I think you had mentioned that, you know, back in the olden days, children were to be seen and not heard. So I think they were always in that position of kind of being viewed a little bit in two conflicting ways. They were viewed as a nuisance or less than or not very important. I think they were even ranked lower than women back in that culture until they were old enough to really show their value, you know?
Yeah.
Especially little girls, they were not valued. But they were still considered a blessing, particularly sons. But for these parents to bring their children to Jesus, they must have first realized that he was something special. Yes. And then they must have valued their children to be bothered to bring them to Jesus for a blessing.
Absolutely.
Blessings were kind of a big deal back then. It was more than just like, oh, just wish them well. I think it really held some weight.
Oh, so much weight. Yeah. For their future.
Yes. And I think it was common for them to bring them to the rabbi or the teachers and have them bless them, or almost kind of not predict what they were going to do, but just kind of lay a course for their life. Like, oh, what do you think? Could he be a teacher or something important? So this was a really important moment.
It was.
For these children.
Yeah. And they were pretty persistent because the disciples, you know, are like trying to push them away. And they stayed long enough for Jesus to notice that they were trying to get to him.
That's true.
Right?
Yep.
So there was a persistence there.
Yeah.
And we don't know much about the children except they got to be held by Jesus.
I know.
And blessed by Jesus. Can you imagine?
That's so crazy. I remember going to my first concert as an 8-year-old, and the Christian singer at the time, I loved him. He called all the kids up to stage, and he sang a kid's song with us, and he walked by as he was singing and put his hand on my shoulder. I was like, oh, he touched my shoulder. And that was just a singer that loved the Lord. So can you imagine being touched by Jesus when you're little? Like, that would stay with you.
Yeah. I wonder if it's one of the untold stories in the book of Acts where one of the Christians said, did you know that I actually got blessed by Jesus when I was a 3-year-old?
Who knows? What? That'd be so fun, right?
I mean, it really could have happened, right?
Yeah.
That's just so, so beautiful. And then that little child that got called and put among them. The child wasn't afraid of Jesus, evidently.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he called the child. The child came. The child stood there and got to be a sort of object lesson in the passage that you read, and the parent allowed it. So Jesus noticed children.
He did.
Yeah. And children were noticed by him. So, okay, I have so much to say about Jesus, but you probably do too.
There's a lot here. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Why don't you start, and then I'll just cover what you don't. I have like 5 major points.
Oh, fun. I don't think I have all of those. We'll see what we cross over.
Yeah.
So I love that Jesus was always going around saying very controversial things. You know, the fact that the disciples kept the children from God showed even their view as disciples of God of children being a bother, a nuisance, not important, an interruption for Jesus doing his big important work, right?
Right.
And for him to say something like that, I just love that he loved to say things that were upside down as far as the authorities of the day thought.
Yes.
But they were probably pretty insulted to be considered as low as these children. When he said the kingdom belongs to them, I think the thought at that time with the leaders and the religious upright was that you had to earn your way to heaven by doing good works, right? And or you couldn't get there. So in their view, children were unable to earn anything because they didn't know the difference between right and wrong yet.
So true.
And they weren't valued enough to earn something. So all of that just kind of points to God's grace, that we can't earn salvation.
I love that.
And that we can only receive it with big, wide, grateful eyes, like that of a child being handed the best gift ever, just going up to Jesus for that blessing. But that would have just really have ticked them all off if they were working so hard to be righteous and follow the law. Like, just be like these kids. They're not doing anything. I've been doing all this stuff. So probably that was probably a big bombshell he dropped.
That is such a beautiful picture of grace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only grace can we get to him.
Absolutely. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's my one point.
So I love your point. Okay. Well, I didn't have that point. So God is so good the way he does that. So, all right. The first thing I learned about Jesus actually is what you just told me was fantastic. But the first thing I learned on my own was that he was bothered so much by the children being kept away that it made him angry.
Mm.
This was not a little thing to him. He was angry. Let them come. Mm. So he had enough of a love for them that he didn't want them slighted.
Oh.
So there's a caring there that comes out in that I thought was really neat. Number two, he's protective of children. You cause them to sin, he says, be better off if you were dead.
Mm.
Now, that's strong words.
Mm-hmm.
So a child molester, someone that pulls a child into the world of drugs or sexual trafficking or anything like that, that makes God angry. Mm-hmm. You'd be better off dead unless you repent.
Right?
It's always repentance. But there's a fierceness about his protectiveness of children because they can't protect themselves. They're stuck with whatever adults are raising them.
Yeah. And there's a seriousness of the language he uses too. It's not like you're better off dead. You're better off if a giant millstone that would crush you anyway is around your neck and then brought to the depths of the sea. So the extreme words he uses, I think it just really reiterates how serious this is to him.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you hurt an innocent child, and don't you take that innocence away. Do not bring that. Because, you know, you look at a child that still is so trusting and getting crushed by an evil person. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes God mad.
Yeah.
That makes God mad. So I also think that the faith of a child uncluttered by disappointment and disillusionment yet, like we all get in time, is so precious to God. They can believe in him without having to know all the answers. You know, we get older and we're like, yeah, but I don't understand this part. Right. Or until I completely understand how God created the world in six literal days, I'm not even going to go there or whatever.
We get hung up on so many
things. We get hung up on so many things. A kid's like, really? You're God? Cool.
Right.
There's something precious about just trusting. And God loves that. He really does. And that's why he gets so angry if people take that away.
Yeah.
And then I also loved that he touched them. It wasn't just, you know, let me hold my hand out and say a blessing over you all. He held them. He touched them. He put his hand on their heads. He was physically close to them, too. And I just thought that was so beautiful that he made time for them, that they were worthy of his time, and that he actually wants us to be more like them. Aww. Can you trust me with what you don't know yet, please? Yeah. Who knows everything, you or me? You know, I just finished reading Job, and there was Job going, I do not get this. I made sacrifices even for my kids in case they sinned.
Right.
I have done everything right. I've been generous. I've been nice. Why has everything gone wrong? You know, and God was pleased that Job brought his troubles to him. But God's answer was, so where were you when I made the world?
I love that part.
Do you really think that I would have done this without a purpose? Because I don't do things without purposes. Just because you don't know the purpose doesn't mean there isn't one. So who knows more? You know, and that's where I have to land when I don't understand things. Who knows more, Sharon? Let's think about that for a hot second.
Yeah.
Could be God.
Just might be.
So anyways, those are the things I learned from that. And it really... The cut off the hand thing always just cracks me up because you can say, well, I just can't help it. And Jesus says, really? Well, then cut off your hand. Right. Okay, maybe I can't help it.
Suddenly I'm a little more motivated to try to overcome this. And my other option is
so
dismemberment.
so blunt in such beautiful ways. I really loved it. So
he was so good at those big illustrations too, like touching the children, bringing them up and interrupting. He was really good at living out, instead of just saying it kind of like on top of a stone somewhere, saying be nice to children, but to draw them in close and to actually touch them.
Exactly.
And to bring out the little child in the crowd, which I think the Greek word for that was even like it or neutral, but I think it might have actually been a little girl because she would have been the least of the least.
She would have been the least of the least.
Girl, which I thought was cute because we're talking about women encountering Jesus. Yeah. Maybe it was a little girl that he brought out of the crowd and put in front.
That would be nice. I wish I knew, but that's really cool.
Possibly. It was just neat.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was a busy man. And the disciples were right. He can't be bothered by everybody.
Right. But every child brought to him, but stopped so much.
He stopped.
Yeah.
He just stopped. He stopped a lot.
He did.
Even when he was busy to help people. I love that about him.
I do too.
Yeah. All right, Nicole. Well, tell me a story that applies to your own life as either a child or raising children, or how do we apply this stuff to ourselves, basically?
I know. How to get that childlike faith back. I think you mentioned it earlier. The older we get, we have so many questions or we have so many unanswered things. I've been reading through Genesis, and Jacob was like, okay, God, I'll call you my God if this, this, and this happens, you know? He's like, I'm not quite ready to call you the God of my life yet, but if you do these things, like, what's in it for me, you know?
Yeah.
So I just feel like that the more I sit and read my Bible and talk to God and listen to him and journal mm-hmm. what he says, mm-hmm. The less I feel I know about him. In the sense of like going to study the Bible and get the theology, I feel like I have a fairly decent handle on some of that. I grew up in the church and I grew up going to Christian schools and I love studying the Bible. But the more I sit with him, the less that matters and the more I get to know him and his mm-hmm. character and his mm-hmm. heart and how much he loves me. And I sit there and it's just kind of in awe of his greatness and his love for me, you know? And I find that I don't want to try to learn so much, but more just to be with him.
Yes.
So I feel like he's peeling back some of that, the callus that builds around our grown mm-hmm. up bitter mm-hmm. hearts, and finding that childlike faith to say, just being with you is enough, God.
Yes.
Even if I come to you, you don't give me what I asked for, because you're not just a vending machine that I come and say, can I have this? Can I have this? But just sitting with him is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in having children, it's given me that perspective of a parent and how God sees me. That's been huge for me to understand the parent-child relationship. Mm-hmm. Because when, you know, my child comes to me and I tell them no, they don't hate me and leave me and never speak to me again. They still think I'm pretty great, which is crazy. At least my younger ones do. But just understanding God's great love for us as a parent, that's been really huge in my relationship with mm-hmm. him. I can approach him as a father that loves me, because I'm a very flawed parent. I do not get it right most days. But in the times that my girls seek me out, they don't do it because they know I'm going to impart great wisdom upon them. My girls just usually just want to be with me to spend time with me, or to just like talk about their day. And that's so beautiful. And do I do that with God? Do I seek him out just to talk to him? Or am I always coming to him with a want or a need or a complaint?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awful as a parent if the only time your child talked to you is when they wanted something and not just because they wanted to share their life with you?
Yeah. You'd get pretty burnt out pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it's been a good reminder just to be with him, because I love being with him, and not always come to him with like, dear Lord, today, please help me with this, you know?
Yep. And then walk away.
Yes. And then just ignore him for the day. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The greatest commandment, the thing God wants from us more than anything, is to love him. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that means time.
Yeah.
And that means just sitting with him. You're right. You're right. And knowledge is good. I mean, knowing the word is good, but it can be a substitute for actually interacting with God.
Oh, sure.
It can all be an intellectual exercise.
Yep. You can completely not engage your heart in reading about God if you're not careful.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need both.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I love that my girls still at 41 and 40 call me up and tell me about their day.
It
just is such a joy. Yeah. It really is. That's what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't ask me for things usually. They just want to tell me things.
Hey, Mom, and can I borrow delightful. The car?
So, well, I was reflecting back on sort of the things that influenced me as a child, because Jesus cares that children come to him. So I'm like, well, what helped me come to him, Lord? What were the things in my background that were helpful? And, you know, I grew up in a home where my parents were definitely praying and Bible reading people.
Mm-hmm.
From my earliest moments, I remember my mom kneeling to pray. She always knelt. It was so beautiful. She didn't just sit there like I do. She was always kneeling. She still remembers with horror a time when she was kneeling and she had asked the three older ones, I don't think David was born yet, to leave her alone. She was talking to Jesus, and we all were climbing on her back while she's trying to finish her prayers. And she yelled at us and said, "Go away, I'm talking to God." And then she felt so guilty about it. But it was beautiful, because you know what it told me?
Yeah.
That's how important God was to her. Yeah. And I mean, she loved us so well that it wasn't like I felt neglected at all.
Didn't scar you for life that one
time? No. And every night, we'd sit, we would read a story from the Bible, we'd answer questions, and then we would kneel. My dad, my mom, me, Bethany, Raymond, and David was 6 years after Raymond, so he was kind of laying around in a bassinet once he showed up for a while. And we would each pray, youngest to oldest, and sing a little prayer song to Jesus before bed every night.
No kidding.
So I just had that rhythm in my life. So at age 4, when I told my mom I wanted to receive Jesus, I knew him.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't known a time without him, really.
That's so beautiful.
It really was such a... a gift of a childhood. It really was. And I am so, so grateful for it. Mm. I really am. And to this day, my mom especially still is, you know, loves the word, writes for our ministry and musings, and prays for me for every need that I have. I am so blessed to still have a living mother at my age. I really am.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. And then I was thinking back to Sunday school, and most of it's a blur of flannel graph and
many flannel graphs.
People wiggling. But my sixth grade Sunday school teacher was a huge influence in my life. His name was Rocky.
Oh.
Rocky Taylor. And he married Esther. And Esther at 19 should never have married Rocky. He was not a Christian at the time. And he was a wild man. And they never had children. And Esther always said it was because Rocky would have made a terrible father at that time. When he was my Sunday school teacher, he was 65.
Oh, wow.
So he... talk about a long time of praying. Esther prayed for him all her married life that he would come to Christ, and kept telling God she was sorry she married him.
Oh, no. Oh, poor
but
love.
She never thought not to marry him.
Yeah.
I mean, not to unmarry him.
Right,
you know, she was married to him. So sorry about that. Anyways, he accepted Christ like at 63 or 64. He was a new convert when he was my Sunday school teacher. He was on fire.
Oh, wow.
Nicole, he had missed so many years out of his life. He was so in love with God.
Wow.
He said, "We are not going to make church boring for you kids." And he did not. We put on plays.
Oh my goodness.
We, you know, we acted out Bible stories.
Yeah.
He gave it his all. He took us out for ice cream. You know, he was making up for lost time. Mm. And that kind of passion, and also that warning to all of us in sixth grade, don't do what I did.
Mm.
I lost so much time where I could have been sharing Christ with others was so valuable to me. So, so anyways, in terms of bringing children to Jesus, I think most important is your own example.
Yes.
You know, you can talk it, but you better walk it.
Yeah.
You know, they better see us praying. They better see us reading the word. They better see us apologizing, which I had to do frequently because I had a temper.
Yes.
And I had to say I was sorry a lot because of that. But see us messing up and admitting it will help them know you can mess up. It's not fatal.
Mm-hmm.
You're still loved and you admit it and you confess it and you move on.
Yeah.
All those things are so important. And then putting them with people that genuinely love Christ too.
Yeah. And I think it's that passion, because you weren't convinced because he suddenly knew everything about the Bible and presented with you guys this beautiful lesson plan. You were drawn to him because of his passion, his excitement for Jesus, his love for Jesus.
Yes.
And I think it's really important as adults to remember that we didn't come to Jesus because of a well laid out theology argument. I think there's a beautiful marrying of those two things at some point in our walk with Jesus, where all those stories, he becomes real. And so we need both. We do need the stories of Jesus. We do need to know the Bible and what we believe and all about him. But then we need to know God. We need to know him and his love. And when those two come together, it's this super exciting,
it's beautiful thing. It is. It is.
Yeah.
Being able to share it with my grandchildren now is so, so special.
Yeah.
Although it can be awkward.
Yeah.
Ray and I ask them once a month by Marco Polo, what are your prayer requests? We say, what was the happy thing that happened to you? What was the sad thing? And how would you like Nina and Papa to pray for you this month?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for several months in a row, when Emma was four, she would say, I want you to pray for a unicorn that flies fastly, that's big enough for me to really ride, really.
Now, I love it.
This was awkward because we actually did not have the faith to believe that God would give her a unicorn that flew fastly and took her through the sky.
Oh, my heart.
So it's not always easy helping children understand that God doesn't always say yes, but isn't that the time for them to learn?
Yes, that is a great point. Because my daughter, I had one of my girls pray. She said, Mom, I've been praying so hard for like 3 weeks that Jesus would turn me into a dragon so I could fly around. And I was like, wow. Like, he hasn't answered my prayer. I'm like, no, he hasn't. I'm not sure that he will. Yes. But I think it's really important to have those moments where it makes us kind of stop because we were there too. Mm-hmm. How many times have we prayed for things that are totally out of God's will mm-hmm. or just not realistic?
Right.
And helping them to understand the difference between Jesus being a genie.
Right.
And then our friend, our God that we can ask these big things of and he won't make fun of us.
Right.
But that there's space to grow to understand that he's not quite a genie. He's more to ask for help for, you know, the daily getting through and for big miracles too.
So, right. Exactly.
Don't stop asking, but maybe.
I think they have to walk through that. I do.
Yes. Yeah.
When Ray went to the Persian Gulf War, Catherine, I think, was 6, maybe 5, and Mary 4. She asked me point blank, will Daddy die?
Oof.
And that's a hard question. And I said, yes, he might. Yeah. And if he does, he'll go to heaven. But in my mind, the best time to teach kids the reality of life, which is God doesn't promise it will always be easy.
Right.
He's not that magic genie. Life can be hard, but Jesus never leaves us.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind we basically we have to be real with them. We can't paint a false picture, a fairy tale. We all are happy once we marry the prince.
Right.
Jesus actually says, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
You're going to be persecuted. People will hate you.
Yeah.
And if we are not honest with telling the children the whole truth, then they feel very disillusioned.
I agree. Yeah, because then they find out their first time they have a hardship. Wait, I was doing all the things I was supposed to do. This is supposed to be my fairy tale ending. Why is this hard?
Mm-hmm.
They can doubt God or they can doubt their relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to work through.
It is very hard to work through. It really is. And then to walk with them through the hard passages of scriptures. Mm. The last thing I'd say, Mary came home her freshman year of college and said, I don't think I like the way Jesus treats women.
Mm.
And I know you like to do a Bible study with me every summer, Mommy. But if we're doing one, I want to do one on women in the Bible.
Oh, wow.
I freaked out because there's some hard passages about women in the Bible.
Yes.
It was the last thing I wanted to do with my rebellious freshman in college.
Right.
But we did it, and it was fabulous because we didn't ignore the hard passages.
Mm-hmm.
We walked through them together. We wrestled with them together. And she's a beautiful example of a Christian woman walking in faith today. But if I hadn't been willing to go there with her, Nicole, it would have looked fake. Like, oh, no, I don't want to talk about the hard things.
Right.
Right?
Well, that part might be icky. You may not like that one. We'll just skip over that.
Yeah, you might not agree with the Bible. And then what if you go further away? Well, the Bible passage is there. Let's deal with it.
Mm-hmm. You could have let fear keep you from really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And fear tried to.
Yes. I can feel that in my little mama heart, too. It's like, oh, no. These are hard passages.
Right.
To just casually go over.
Yeah, they are. So, but is God God? Yes. Yeah. Is the word his? Yes. When we go to it with open hearts, does he not speak? Mm. Oh, he did. We had a better Bible study than we'd ever had.
That's
because
beautiful.
I wasn't curating it for my taste or what I thought she ought to know.
Right. And
right?
He put it in the Bible, so he wants us to see it. There's a reason
the
it's there.
Thing. Yep. So anyways, those are my thoughts because children matter.
Yes, they do.
Even high school freshmen or college freshmen like
even
Mary.
Even the sassy ones.
Even the sassy ones matter. So, okay, well, let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for this passage where you not only show your love for children, but your fierce protectiveness over them.
Mm.
Lord, that comforts me because so many children are wounded and hurt in this world. And I love that you weep with those who weep. I love that righteous anger that you have.
Mm.
I thank you for it. And I ask, Lord, that you would be with everyone listening, those that come from brokenness as a child, those that are struggling to be good parents now.
Mm.
Would you help them, Lord? If there needs to be confession of sin, would you remind them that you forgive? You don't throw millstones around the necks of people who say, forgive me. I repent. You welcome them. We love you, Father. We love your vastness and your purity and the fact that you truly do know all things. Mm-hmm. And we worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell of the cross.
Thanks so much for listening in today as we talked about children and Jesus' heart for them and his desire for us to have a simple, trusting faith like theirs. If our podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you subscribed to it or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. Please email us with a prayer request you may have or to join our podcast partner newsletter. You can email us at nicole@sweetsela.org. And please join us next time for episode 163. Until next time, don't forget to take the time to just stop, Sela, and be with Jesus.
Love pay the ransom for me. Oh, love pay the ransom.